thank you very much for the invitation, and congratulations to the organizers, because so far it's been one of the most interesting of the many ELF events I have attended in the last few years. Coming here, I was reading a booklet by President Klaus, European Integration Without Illusions. I understand it is one of the very many, because the author that is most quoted in this booklet is President Klaus himself. So I suppose that it is the last of a very long production. And it was a surprise. It was a surprise because when I think of anti-Europeans, as we federalists call them, or Eurosceptics, as they prefer to be called, usually the arguments that they use are much more not only much more vulgar, but also much more distant for our sensitivity and from the individuation of the problems themselves than those emerging from this book. Because it is right that it is not just about economics. It is right that we are facing a democratic decline. It is right that we are facing a decline of politics. And in my opinion, it is right that we are facing a decline of what we used to call the West in the last, six decades. I was immensely surprised at the end of this booklet when I saw President Klaus quoting British historian Arnold Toynbee, saying that we are facing a typical challenge and response situation, and that we are not giving the right response. I was really struck by this, because this is a quotation I always do on behalf of the Federalist positions. I have here a couple of slides that I hope I will be able to show you. The first one is mostly a joke. And it is this one. Can you see it? No, you can't see it, unfortunately. However, it is the results of the London Olympics. If the European Union had taken part with a united team rather than divided in the national teams that are usual in the Olympics and other competitions, well, we would have had twice the number of gold medals than the United States, and three times the total amount of medals. Of course, we would be by far the largest world superpower, at least in the area of sports. Now, the second one, I'm sorry, here it is. Okay, is more serious. It's behind it. Thank you. No, it was the second one. However, I think it can stay in the background, because it is very suitable to... It was on the desktop. Just on the desktop. Yeah, behind this one. Close it. Yes, here it is. I hope it can be seen. And this is, as you see, the trends that I am not an economist myself, so it was not myself who elaborated these figures. And it is the percentage of gross world product in a projection to 2030 and 2050. And then other data that can be as much interesting from this point of view as the others. This shows that Europe has much to say if it is Europe. If it is the single independent states of Europe, it is negligible. We are going, each of us, including the biggest players, are going to count in the next decades more or less like a Chinese province. And this is the point. We are hanging ourselves to state sovereignties, or to the myth of state sovereignties. I would not enter the details of what reform, what possible reform should be suitable, but I was surprised to see in Thomas Cloud's speech a solution that is very, very similar to the one I wrote about in a book I published 3 years ago.
I apologize. It was
no, no. On the contrary, I'm very happy. I'm very happy because it is the evidence that there is some ground for that. And it is that if those who do not want any evolution towards a more federal and stronger Europe want to block any possibility of any development from that point of view, the only other possibility is that it is made at infra-communitarian level, because no one could prevent a number of member states to engage in a deeper integration than that that is considered possible by the others. I'm saying we are hanging ourselves to state sovereignties, and there are consequences that are never taken into consideration by those who are on the other side. Take the case of Greece, for example. You know why Greece was admitted in the Eurozone? It was admitted in the Eurozone because Greece itself, of course, but also the other member states did not want Eurostat to control the books of the Greece budget that had obviously been cooked by the Greek government, because they didn't want to set the precedent that in the following years that could also be done on all the other member states. Everybody say that this kind of Europe lacks in democracy. Very, very, very true. But the consequence of the lack of democracy, or together with the lack of democracy and also bureaucratization, because if there is no political handle, of course bureaucracy takes all the room that is left void by the political system, is a consequence of intergovernmental Europe. Well, every important decision that needs to be adopted by the Union is made unanimously by 27, tomorrow 28 heads of governments behind closed doors. They have only the possibility of reaching a compromise where you cannot change one single comma without putting at jeopardy the entire compromise. And that can only be swallowed by the state parliaments. They cannot discuss it seriously. They cannot amend it. There is no democratic process because it is intergovernmental. The rationale of the Eurosceptics or anti-Europeans says that we want to keep power in our hands, and so we have to control the process, and so our state parliament or national parliament, as they prefer to say, must keep the power to say yes or no. Well, that can only be a yes or no. They cannot contribute in any other possible way, because it is a compromise discussed behind closed doors, and you can only say yes or no, and that is not democracy. It is not the parliamentary democracy that we have, and the only kind of democracy we accept in all our member countries. The vocabulary is a very tricky question. I see that we in Western Europe talk about federation, especially if we speak English. When we say federalist, we think of Jefferson, Madison, the great debate on the federation of the United States of America. We think of Switzerland. We think of the success story of the Federal Republic of Germany. Of course, in this part of Europe, the first thing that people think of is the federation that was the Soviet Union, former Yugoslavia, this very country, although it was not born that way before communism. But think of what the economic politics, policies of Germany, or the international policies of Germany, of Italy, would be if the only way of producing a foreign policy would be meeting behind closed doors among the 16 regional presidents of the Länder or the 20 presidents of the regions, with the different economic interests each one has, the different geopolitical priorities, the different political majorities. What kind of international policy could emerge for such a procedure? What kind of economic policies? And yet, this is what the keeping the control of state democratic procedural provisions make to the more demanding European decisional process. Now, the point is that we are going, and as an Italian I can say that I'm particularly aware of this, to the reduction of politics to commercial advertising, to the reduction of politics to a personality context, and to a sort of short-sightedness such that the most long-sighted politicians look at the next general elections. But a democracy cannot work without responsible leaders and responsible elites. So the point is that there is no European demos, that's right, but there is also no European establishment and no national establishments as well. Now, as you see from that, from those data, one century ago, the international community was us. The European powers, later Western Europe and North America, the world is no longer us today. And so when they say we have no European demos, well, you should ask a question. What constitutes today a political subjectivity, a political individuality? It is no longer the blood. It is no longer sharing a common culture, as President Klaus still thinks. It is a set of principles. Now, are liberal democracy, human rights, individual freedoms, an open society, free markets, so irrelevant in the world today? Can we really think, as Fukuyama thought before the 11th of September, that the world has become entirely and happily a free, democratic, liberal environment? If you answer yes, then what constitutes our identity, that is, human rights, individual freedoms, liberal democracy, open society, free markets, no longer constitutes an identity. Otherwise, it still is, and it is the most important part of our collective individuality. The European integration is not globalization in general. And the European and Western common identity is not undifferentiated cosmopolitanism, as President Klaus says. Western Europe is, when I say Western Europe, I mean the part of Europe that is in tune with those principles. I'm not talking of it in terms of physical geography, but of political geography. Western Europe is the European part of the West, that is half of the West, more or less. So President Klaus is right when he says that what is at stake is not just an economic policy, it is the Western civilization. But how is it possible for the Western civilization to survive with those data that you see behind in a world that is more and more globalized, and when the largest European state will count like a Chinese province? So the point is that you have to understand that soft and smart power will come along with the economic and geographical power of more authoritarian societies than ours. It is true that diversity and conflict were the key for European success. But diversity and conflict inside our society, not among communitarian and less open enclosures, the smaller and the most controlled, the better. Going back to those organic, homogeneous, communitarian societies is not only anti-liberal, it is also anti-Western. Actually, it is the greatest threat to the Western civilization, that those who think that are the last defenders of Western civilization are preaching against. Exactly that is the problem. It is no longer possible to say that you have no democracy without a nation state, because in this case we will not have democracy at all, wherever. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julio. Another very fascinating contribution, especially thanks for putting the future version of Europe in the kind of broader context of Western civilization, and referring to the Western values. I really think that it'll be very interesting also to get down to this issue in the debate, you know, what is the kind of the underpinning identity element, you know, that still keeps the European Union together. I think that's the crucial issue that we kind of tend to omit, you know, in the debates about rather technical issues and technical solutions. So thank you very much for raising that.